Living the Dream podcast with special guests Dano, Lindsay, and as always, Giannis and Guillermo. We're here to talk about the People's Choice Tournament and adventures we've all had trying to recruit new people, recruit new songs, and just keep living the dream. So, Lindsay, let's talk to you first. First of all, congratulations. I hear you are a new aunt.
Thank you very much. My niece Savannah was born. She'll be a week old at midnight. Tonight.
Awesome. And where are you talking to us from?
I'm calling in from Tulsa tonight.
Which is your home base?
Yep. I'm calling actually from my apartment in Tulsa.
Awesome. Now, Lindsay, you were one of the first people to jump on board with the first music tournament, the Living the Dream tournament that was supposed to determine the best rock song of all time. How'd you enjoy that, and how do you think this has been kind of a different trip for you?
Yeah, I really liked the first tournament. It was something that was new to me. I'd never done a music tournament before, and it was nice to actually listen to songs and have to think about them. And I think this one is a lot different in that I am finding it's still very early, and I've already found so many new artists that I hadn't really considered listening to before and new songs. And also I think people are coming out of their shells a lot earlier this time, and it's really interesting to see the people posting their opinions and really kind of talking about the songs in more depth early on, and that wasn't happening as much in the last tournament, I think.
Definitely. That's kind of infectious, right? I mean, when you see a couple people making comments, you feel more I think people who are newer voters feel that it's okay to jump in and criticize other people's songs, which I thought actually is a little surprising because before you're just kind of hating on maybe overplayed songs or something, but now, you know, people are pretty critical of songs that other people nominated even, but
yeah,
you know, go ahead.
I think people have much stronger opinions because they're more tied to the songs and they're more invested in it. I know I've posted some 10s already, and it's really early because I love my songs and they all keep going down.
Oh, that's too bad. What are some of your songs that have gone down already?
Jolene and just recently Gold Dust Woman.
Now, would you
Would
you argue that Jolene is actually the best song called Jolene?
You know, I had a little tournament of my own to decide the songs that I was going to use, and I had the other Jolene in as well, and then I realized it was already in the other tournament, so fortunately I didn't have to make that decision.
Well, I don't know, Jolene, like, so I gave Jolene a 10 too, and you can look on the wall, and it went the same way as a Sweet Thing by Van Morrison, and I think Lindsay mentioned the Lindsay Guillermo curse, where if either of us are the only two people giving 10s to a song, and immediately is not going to win. But I don't know. I mean, like, Ray LaMontagne, like, I mean, I'm a big fan of him, too, and I think it's a good example of a guy that is good to listen to, like, when you're driving or when you're chilling out, but it is, like, a very, like, intensely emotional song, and it's just sort of a guitar and a guy from Maine, and I don't know. I mean, I thought about nominating Jolene myself, and I was happy to see it in there and everything, and I think, you know, we still have one LaMontagne song left, but it's a different sort of genre, and I think it's a good example of how in the People's Choice Tournament, now people are sort of reaching past the top 40 classic rock stuff and taking deeper dives into, you know, the music that really touches their hearts, and, you know, there's an implicit vulnerability in that and sort of exposing your choices to, you know, the comment section of the collective people. But, you know, that said, you know, I've been looking sort of through the catalog of what's coming up, and it's all over the place, and it's really exciting. Who knows? I think we might see the songs in all sorts of genres going forward, but as we all know, it's been crazy. Like, how do you compare, for example, Dana will be posting the results soon, but isn't there, like, a hair metal song versus, who's Queensryche versus?
I have Queensryche. It goes up tomorrow. Against, I can't remember, 07, I think.
Yeah, so you got this, like, late 80s, like, super metal versus a band I only know from the Garden State soundtrack. So, like, you really got to take, like, three big steps back in terms of your scoring and figure out exactly how you're going to compare those songs, you know, and really try to listen to them individually and then sort of pit them against each other in your head and figure it out. So, anyways, that was sort of a tangent on La Montagne, but, yeah.
Well, let's rope Dano in here because I think one of the weirder things about the whole idea of the music term is comparing two songs against each other in such a head-to-head format, especially when they are as disparate as they are. And Dano, you've been the leading recruiter for the People's Choice Tournament. You've gotten the most people actually involved in voting for the first time. So how did you convince them to dive in, and what have they thought of this kind of weird mishmash of songs that have come across our listening list in the last few days?
You know, I ended up just sending this really long email, which I think you guys got a taste of that since I told them to reply to you. You know, just sort of laying out what it was and, you know, what it was, how it works, and just how much fun it is. You know, and I just sort of, you know, I was finishing up my MBA and I was bored one day and just blasted it out to like 75 people in my address book, expecting, you know, maybe like five people to respond to it. You know, and then I think like in the end, 20 people ended up responding to it. And it seems like, you know, a lot of them didn't even ask for more explanation. They were just immediately, they were just like, I love music. I love discovering new music. I'm in. The response has been really positive. So, you know, I still need to get a couple of them actually voting now that the whole tournament has started. But it was a lot easier than I expected to get people on board.
And congratulations, by the way, on your new MBA. Is there a name that goes with that, like the equivalent of Esquire or Doctor or something? Or are you a doctor of making cash or something?
No, I don't think so. It was kind of funny. At graduation, for all the PhDs, they had this thing that was like, welcome to the, you know, the Honorable Society of, like, Scholars or something. And when they got to the MBAs, they were just like, you know, make wise choices and don't screw up for us. Like, so no title to go with that one.
Go ahead, Guillaume.
I was just thinking, listening to Dano talk about his recruiting process. So I found sort of in my circle of Facebook friends or you know, whatever, that actually some people came out of the woodwork near the very end of the People's Choice Tournament, and I would get like a Facebook message or like an email that said, hey, like, I've been watching this for like 3 months and I never voted before. I hope that's okay. Can I jump in now? And two examples that actually stick out in my head are Maureen and Matt B. Both friends from totally different corners of my life, but both like independently were like, I've been watching this. This is sort of cool. And now all of a sudden they're on board. Did you guys have any sort of comparable experiences with people that, you know, you were always talking about the tournament with, or that noticed your like Facebook posts, or your Twitter posts or whatnot, that all of a sudden are now on board and they just needed that little oomph?
Personally for me, not really. Like, this is the first time I really introduced everybody to the tournament. I think last time around, I was still sort of, you know, getting a feel for exactly what it was. And, you know, like Ad-Rock had always, you know, had always told me about these, you know, the personal tournaments that he had run. So, you know, when I sent out that blast, I think that was really the first time for most people that I had introduced.
For me, I just have a few people who I sort of harass, and they will vote periodically to appease me, but I think they think of it as more of a chore to make Lindsay happy than like something that they feel really involved in themselves. But when they do vote, like my friend Steven voted last night, for example, and his votes are really thoughtful, and he always has a nice commentary, and I really wish he would vote more often. And that's sort of how all my voters are. It made me laugh that I got my mom to vote as well the other week, but I don't, my mom doesn't check her email very often, so I don't think she'll be a regular voter.
I actually had the same, I had my family in town for graduation and got all four of them to sit down in the living room and vote with me, so.
We saw that the Anderson family does not like Bjork, apparently.
They ate Bjork.
we were not a fan.
So, Bjorklund actually carries nomination, and she was she didn't have internet this past weekend, and she wrote me this email. It's like, what the fuck happened to my song? It's gonna be a disappointing thing to like go somewhere without internet and then come back and find your song has vanished. Or I guess like Mark had the same experience, except he was in a hospital room watching his daughter be born.
You know, that whole thing actually reminds me of a couple days ago when Ad Rock's parents just completely took down Dr. Dre.
Yes.
Yeah, the progenitor is not a fan of the hip hop, it seems.
Yes, I'm glad to see Eileen become a regular voter as well.
Yeah.
I guess to answer your question, Garen, this is something that I want to discuss with the group briefly tonight. It's a concept of group voting. I don't know if you guys have friends over and listen and vote together with any regularity, but those are kind of the people who I've been trying to rope in and get to vote on their own. Obviously, I've got some people to get involved early last tournament, but I think there's some people who know when they come over on a Saturday afternoon that one of the first activities is going to be to get the speakers working so we can do some group voting. And what I found that's kind of remarkable is this concept of subconscious groupthink. It's almost like when you listen to a song together in a room, and everyone's kind of not saying much and listening to the song, even people with disparate tastes seem to gravitate towards each other. So even when we write down our scores and show them to each other after, we are way more similar than we would be if we were listening at home by ourselves, because we're kind of, I guess maybe our body language is saying something to each other. But I don't know if you guys have had this experience, because clearly when you look at the comments section at people voting together, it's kind of infrequent that you see diametrically opposed scores of people who are actually sitting down with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree with that. I mean, that was the other day with my family was the first time. And I mean, looking at my family, especially with my parents, like you couldn't have more different tastes. Like in our house, I grew up listening to like John Denver and Peter, Paul and Mary, like, and like my parents hate the music I listen to, but, you know, in general, like when we were sitting around, I think our scores were generally within like a point or two of each other, pretty much across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely found that interesting.
Yeah, the groupthink thing is, so that makes me think of music tournaments I've done on road trips with friends. There was a good two and a half year period of my life where I lived in Mississippi, as I've talked about on the comment section a lot. And any time I was with a group of friends driving to New Orleans, which is about an hour and a half away, or back to Biloxi, there was always a 16-song music tournament. And I was, like, very, very adamant that, like, the same person couldn't vote first, and you had to, like, be really honest, and, like, you had to, like, know what your scores were before you said anything. And at times, I worry that I might have seemed even, like, dictatorial in my insistence on this. But, yeah, I mean, it's the groupthink thing, and, you know, well, as soon as you hear a score, you can't help but, like, you know, sort of think, well, maybe my score is too low or maybe my score is too high. And in that vein, also, when we were running the People's Choice or the original music tournament, we both tried really hard through the tournament to not count up the scores before we voted. Or if one of us had counted up the scores, to not tell the other person, like, who was ahead or who was behind. Because, you know, even between, you know, Giannis and I are pretty, insistent on follow your heart, like, vote individually. Like, we're aware that, like, you know, knowing a number can shift things a little bit. And that only becomes more emphasized in those, like, group vote settings. But that said, it's also the same group vote settings that spread the word and get people involved and get people interested. It's just sort of a yin and a yang to it, I guess.
Another thought on the group voting and group thinking, I think it's harder to really hate on a song if you're listening to it with someone who really digs it. So even if you think, oh, I'm going to give this song like a 2, and then you listen to it with someone who loves it and you can see them bopping their head and really enjoying themselves, I find it's a lot harder to give that song a horrible score if you see, oh, you know, maybe it isn't so bad if someone else really likes it and it makes them so happy. When I listened and voted with my mom, I had that experience. She was just enjoying one of the songs that I would have tanked so much. She loved it, and seeing her happy made my score a little higher.
Hmm. Do you think that applies to the comments section? If you see, you know, a bunch of nines or twos to start off the score for a song, are you more inclined to be like, well, maybe that song isn't as good or as bad as I thought it was before you start?
I usually don't read the comments before I listen and vote, unless there's a song that I'm sort of tallying in my head and trying to do something with the score, and then I will. But otherwise, if I'm feeling indifferent about a song, I don't really read the comment section first, so that does I don't have the same effect there.
I think for me it'll affect what I say about it. You know, like if someone is just like, you know, like, man, this song really means a lot to me, then I'll make sure I don't say, you know, this song made me want to stick a fork in my ear. But but in general, I don't think it affects the way I actually score it.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just nicer than you guys.
What was that, Yas?
You concur? Well, I mean, because Guillermo, we have to see the scores often, you know, before we. And now that you guys have become contributing posters, and thank you very much for that, by the way. Sometimes it's a little more unavoidable, just because we've been tallying the scores and seeing them for 2 days. You know.
I constantly think about like my subconscious and like try to sort of keep my voting and keep my approach to the tournament as independent as possible. But of course it can never be like truly independent, because we're like adding up the scores, and we like, you know, now the four of us all have access to the spreadsheet online. And so you can see right at the end how much the song is behind or ahead. And, you know, you try to sort of like keep that out of your head. When I'm actually running tournaments, or when I'm running around, I haven't been as good about this lately, but like I really try hard to be one of the first couple people to vote, because like I just want to like get it done with, so like that I don't get biased by anything. But I don't know, like to be fair and equitable in this tournament, it's like very, very important to me. And the seating, I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on the seating process that I made up, because, you know, it's collapsing in front of our very eyes. Like, I honestly like tried my best to make it fair for everybody and like spread everyone's songs around, and I like sort of banged my head against the wall in terms of how to randomize everything in like the randomest way possible. And I even like took out like my business school notes on like this class I took on making random experiments for like Six Sigma shit. And yeah, Dano, you have that to look forward to. You can use your MBA shit for music tournaments.
Exactly.
I use more MBA skills in music tournaments than I have in my job. That's a true fact. But anyways, it's hard, you know, but we try to be fair, and we try to sort of vote independently. And, you know, I think if you guys, should you continue helping us with the posts, and I truly hope that you do, because it's just really good to get a bunch of different voices there, and it also helps Giannis and I an intense amount. But, you know, as you go through and get more used to it, you'll sort of like, I don't know, I think be more exposed to the nature of seeing the scores without, you know, having voted yet, and the implicit difficulties that brings. But,
I mean,
you know, we all try to be fair and try to be independent.
I mean, that's definitely something I've, like, in general, I try to, even when there's a million comments, like, I'll just copy a comment just to get the, you know, the structure of the songs down or whatever, and then I always make an effort not to look at how it's doing beforehand. And especially now that I can see the totals, it's definitely more of a challenge, but I'm trying to do that.
I have to admit to strategic voting when I have a song that I'm really rooting for. I will go and look at the comments and sort of tally it up in my mind and think, well, maybe if I give the song going against it, it's new.
That's not what we're aiming for.
I
did that in the last tournament, too. I don't use the spreadsheet to cheat, but I do that.
I will also admit to doing that in the last tournament only on a couple occasions. Like if there were like, because that tournament was, you know, the whole point was to be like the top, you know, it was like the best song of all time.
Yeah.
There were just certain songs that every now and then they'd come up and I would just be like, this song doesn't deserve to be in this tournament. And I would just categorically vote it down.
The Dano Act. Yes.
Yeah. When we do voter appreciation awards, we'll include this category where basically we average out the difference that you as a voter gave between the two songs, and we highlight that for the public, and we also highlight the people that give songs like the closest scores. We have a whole bunch of categories. But I do seem to remember that Dano won the Dano X award a couple times in a row.
You know, the interesting thing about that one, if you look at it from the beginning of the tournament to the end of the tournament, it actually starts, it evens itself out once all the songs that, like, you know, as it actually, like, got whittled down to, like, you know, songs that, I don't know, I don't want to say.
They got the Dano stamp of approval, those songs.
Right, the ones that survived the act.
I will say, though, that I have not been, since there is no over, you know, overarching theme of best song of all time, I have not been using that theory in this tournament, so.
And I'll say that I think Guillermo, I may have won your Mr. Nice Guy award at some point for smallest differential, but that was in large part because I nominated 400 of the 500 songs from last time. And I came out swinging this time, so I don't think I'm going to be a repeat winner of that award.
Yeah. Actually, the Ad Rocks are looking in lead contention for that due to the fact that every time there's a hip-hop song, they have at least like a plus six differential.
So what songs, I guess all of us have eight nominees. What songs do you guys have up your sleeves, having seen the voter base for a few days, that you think may actually have a chance of advancing a couple rounds?
Honestly, I was surprised by the results, but the Louis Armstrong song that's one of mine.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I couldn't.
That's the leading song right now.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that one did as well as it did. I thought there would have been, you know, I thought it would be one of those polarizing songs where, like, you know, you would have a bunch of people who love it, and a bunch of people who hate it. But, yeah, I was surprised by that one. Someone made a comment, it might have been one of you guys who, you know, who said it might have, you know, could this be the new...
I said that. Could this be the new Stand By Me?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised by that one.
I don't know. I'm looking at my list of nominees, and I think they're all going down. I don't have a lot of hope for my little list here, but...
I can't tell. I don't know. The way the votes are coming out, it's really hard to say what's going to do well and what's going to not do well. And I know... Well, Giannis, your one seed was one of the first losses of the entire tournament, which I'm sure was difficult for you as a.
Lost to a song with no vocals at all. Lost a damn instrumental track. An okay one, fine. But that was the worst ignominy of all.
I try to give you credit by posting how many different commercials that song had been featured in, just so everyone could take a long thought on whether Ghost Rider was truly a song that deserved to advance.
Yeah.
And then right now, well, I mean, I guess we'll have to see how the 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock votes come in. But Dana, your song is your one seed, sort of on the ropes right now too, right?
Mr. Roboto, I'm pretty sure is going down.
Oh, I voted for it.
I voted for it too.
It's going down, but I think that Megan's brother and brother's girlfriend gave Death Cab 10s, and one of them gave Mr. Roboto a 2.5. So
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I think those two might be responsible for taking it down. But yeah, I think that's gonna be my first loss in the tournament.
Giannis, I totally agree with your comment you made about Death Cab versus Postal Service. I love the Postal Service album. I've never been into Death Cab.
It's weird. Straight up confounds me. Well, I guess I have won. I felt almost cheap nominating. It did really well in my personal tournament to get into this one. But it's Somebody to Love Live in Montreal by Queen. And I say I feel almost cheap nominating because Queen did so well at the last tournament. I was almost like, do we really need another deep run by Queen? But it's just basically been my favorite song for the last month or so. So I had to nominate it. But I think that's a powerhouse that could actually win a couple of rounds.
There's another Queen song in there. It's the Division F one seed. I think that might do well, too. I mean, again, we'll just have to see how things go. It's a 39, I think.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What about you, G? What's your top gun?
My top gun. Well, my one seed is Romeo and Juliet, which I love, and I know, Jonathan, you like it too. And I think it's.
I like that song too, so that might be a nail in its coffin.
Yeah. Just can you not give it a 10, Lindsay?
Okay, I won't.
We don't want to jinx it, but anyways, I mean, I see that as a song that I find it very hard to believe that someone is going to give that below like a 6 or a 6.5. And as we saw in the last tournament, it wasn't the songs that got a couple tens that ended up doing the best in the long run. It was the songs that people like didn't ever give like super low scores to. And there's some podcast back in the day that we did, right, sort of looked at the stats behind Stand By Me's run and noted that. But honestly, none of my songs have been up yet. I've been sort of waiting anxiously. I have actually, my first song goes live tonight. It's the Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros song. That might do well, too. But as Grant said in our other podcast, the third verse conversational piece might wear on people after a couple rounds. So who knows? I don't know. I mean, it's just hard to say whether one's going to do well or not. I mean, this death cap thing, for example, I mean, again, like, you know, the votes are still live for another couple minutes here, but I was just shocked that so many people gave that such high scores. I don't know. I always sort of thought of it as more of like a whiny, annoying song as opposed to like a song that was going to dethrone something as legitimately fun as Mr. Roboto.
You know, I think it also, like, the song it's against, like, definitely plays into, you know, like, depending on what the matchup is, I think that can affect how people vote, right? Because I took a look at the last, like, the play-in round for the Death Cab song, and it averaged, like, a full point lower than it's averaging right now. So I don't know if that means people are growing, if it's, like, growing on people, or, you know, is that just a result of people wanting to take down Mr. Roboto or what? But
I don't know.
I actually gave Mr. Roboto a higher score than I thought that when I saw that song on the list. I was thinking, oh, God, I don't like the song. And then when I listened to it again, I gave it a higher score than I thought I would.
That's the We Built the City on Rock and Roll
effect. All these songs and one of the most fun experiences ever. Like the whole, like the, what's the story of Mr. Roboto?
Hang on, let me.
I just looked this up on Wikipedia a few hours ago, actually.
I put it in the post. It's the story of Robert Orwin Charles Kilroy, who was a rock and roll performer placed in a futuristic prison for rock and roll misfits.
Is that next to the island of misfit toys?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, God. And then I Googled the Queensryche song, too, because that was part of a rock opera, too. I put the story in my post. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's basically a combination of, like, Les Miserables and A Clockwork Orange put into one story.
I read that, too, and it made me kind of want to watch the movie. I don't know if I could sit through the whole thing, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, Queensryche. So.
Well, what else? We're wrapping up here. We got probably a couple minutes left. I guess it's so hard to make predictions just because, I mean, I don't even know a ton of the songs in here. But, well, for starters, we definitely have to have a pretty rocking party once we get down towards the end, like we did last time. But what are other thoughts people have just generally about the music tournament? Your thoughts on Captain Jack Sparrow? Any other thoughts looking at the list of songs that we have ahead of us?
I think I'm kind of curious. You know, in the end, once we get down to the 16, is that where the songs that everybody actually knows, are those going to emerge? You know, as the best songs, or are we actually going to have something, you know, one of these things that just happens to be a song that just happens to be someone's favorite that nobody's heard of, but everyone likes. Like, I'm curious if any of those will actually squeak their way into the finals.
There's some, well, okay. So top scorers from the divisions so far are the Florence and the Machine song, which I'd never heard before and I really like, and the Louis Armstrong song, which maybe I've heard in passing but never paid attention to. And I think I could safely say the same thing about Clint Eastwood, which is arguably the most popular of those three songs in terms of mainstreamedness. But, you know, I knew Feel Good Incorporated. I didn't really ever, like, listen to Clint Eastwood. And I don't know. I mean, if that's any indication, we have those songs sort of powering through. And in the meantime, we have some more popular songs sort of falling early. So I would hope that people, you know, catch on to new songs that are new to them. Oh, another good example is that Canadian rapper song, the Crab Bucket song. I mean, had any of you guys ever heard that before?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, and that's, I think, got the third highest average right now. So, I don't know, we'll see. I mean, we'll have to see what happens with the coming rounds, but I don't think it's so out of the realm of possibility that we'll get a really diverse group of songs that are new to everybody, as opposed to just, like, the top 40s weeding themselves out. But that said, you know, we still have to wait and see what happens with Landslide. We've got, you know, some Stone songs coming up. We have a Beatles song near the end. So it's hard to say until we see how those perform in their first round matchups.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we should we'll reconvene a podcasting crew either in this form or in some other assembly of regulars, contributors, and musers. Any parting words for the listeners tonight about, I don't know, anything? Life, pursuit of happiness. Lindsay, I'll start with you.
Okay, I think my pursuit of happiness would be a much happier pursuit if you guys would stop killing my songs. But other than that, I really enjoyed this tournament, and I really enjoyed getting to know all of your favorite songs.
Mr. Dano.
I mean, I'll mirror that sentiment. You know, I think it's been great getting this, all these new songs that we've never heard of. I mean, personally, I've gone out and spent like $40 on iTunes buying new music just solely based on this tournament. So thanks to everyone who's just putting their, you know, being brave enough to put their best song forward, knowing it might be crushed.
Dr. G.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. Not to repeat what Lindsay and Dana said, but for sure. But in addition, I think, so it's one thing to sort of go to like a major music blog or go to, you know, NPR's current musical selections, and it's a completely different thing to sort of see these people, some of whom you know, some of whom you don't know, but all of whom sort of adopt these identities through these, you know, avatars or whatnot, and are able to sort of comment and say what they think. And I don't know. It's a little bit more of a, like, I trust the music that's coming into this tournament a little more than I would trust it from, like, a talking head on the radio telling me that I should listen to this, I should listen to that. And so in that way, it's sort of like a streamlined way to get in touch with this good music that I've never heard before. So same vein, like, I'm really psyched for all these songs. I'm psyched to listen to the songs coming up. I've already been sort of cheating and making, like, playlists and listening to some of the brackets that are coming up, and everything is really exciting. It's all over the place. So thanks to everyone for your nominations. And then one last, I guess, word I would say. So we didn't really talk about the seeding, but, you know, I tried to think of this, like, very structured way to sort of spread the songs out. And, you know, I have a bunch of posts. You can read up on it if you want. But I think it's really interesting that we've had now a number of situations where, like, 16 seeds are overcoming one seeds, but those aren't really like seeds in the way that we have like a regular season and seeded people for the playoffs. These are seeds in terms of like the number one choice of somebody that voted a lot last tournament versus the sole nomination from a brand new voter. So, I mean, if you think about it for like half a second, of course, like, you know, there's really no rhyme or reason to who would win or lose in one of those matchups. The seeds are sort of more a way for us to organize the rewarding of the voters that voted in the last tournament. And, you know, we'll start with a clean slate for the next tournament. So if you're a new voter and you're just getting into this, you know, keep voting and keep, you know, chiming in and stuff. And, you know, when we come the next time around, you'll get a couple more nominations and we'll get to listen to even more music. So that's what I got. Thanks, everybody.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. And for me,
Giannis, just... wait, well, Giannis, yeah, what are your closing words?
Well, I just love how crazy democracy is, right? We, at this point, are all starting to get several more degrees removed from each other. We got friends of friends of friends starting to vote and become regular voters, and there's really no way anybody can game this system anymore. Even towards the end of the last tournament, you could rally a couple people to your side to push a song over the edge, but now I really don't know what's going to happen in any given matchup any night, and that makes it not, you know, me and Guillermo's tournament or our tournament or anything. It truly is a People's Choice tournament. It's a totally random collection of people, all of whom have the same ability to go out and vote for songs, some of the same abilities to nominate the songs we're listening to, the same ability to bring in new voters. So I love it. I think it's very exciting to be part of an election that's not rigged, you know? So I can't wait to see what happens next. So thank you all for voting. Thanks to Lindsay and Dano for joining the team, putting these mashups together day to day. And I hope to talk to everyone soon and see you in the comments section. Till then.
Take care, everybody.
Picked up a high guy.